This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment for longer-lasting disease and insect protection for wheat and barley seeds, young seedlings, and roots.
Snow is making its way through the Canadian prairies in eastern Montana. And the storm is not only expected to hang together, but it is expected to strengthen over the next 24 hours. And while people in the path get ready, the markets acted today like, meh, they couldn't be bothered by a bit of snow.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk report expectations with Jerry Goodell from the Price Futures Group. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz chimes in with his thoughts. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well. How you doing today, man?
It's a great day to be broadcasting to our brethren in the ag world and elsewhere.
Yes, absolutely it is. I got to throw this out here real quick. If you didn't get a chance to listen to this morning's AgriTalk and the Farmer Forum in particular, when we were talking about the white wheat sale that was made to China last week, with Bill, no relation, Flory. Go listen to that. I think it's really important for people to hear that conversation.
And we also had Kevin Ross, president of the National Corn Growers Association, too, prior to that. So you know, beefy show all the way around this morning.
Yeah, and Tim Gregerson from Nebraska was in talking about harvest progress, what his yields look like. He's got some wet corn yield reports in there. So it's all very, very it was a great show this morning.
You bet.
Corn steady to slightly lower today. Soybeans slightly higher. Bean meal tried to work to the upside. Bean oil was lower. Mixed trade in the wheat market. Modest gains in live cattle futures, but feeder cattle futures got all excited about something today. Shot to the upside. November even up the $3 today. And then lean hogs, solid gains. I mean, it was a really impressive day again in the lean hog market following yesterday's big upside reversal. We got to turn 2 minutes into three for Bubba, so let's get right to the news.
December soft red winter wheat futures traded to the highest level since August 9 and have now posted back-to-back closes above $5. Minor chart resistance is at the August 9 high of 506 and a quarter, which corresponds very well with the late July consolidation range in Dease SRW futures. Trade sources report Egypt bought 295,000 metric tons of Russian and Ukrainian wheat at prices about $2 above last week's trade. That's more evidence that global importers have decided now is the time to extend coverage on wheat needs. December hard red futures were 3 cents higher at 413 and a quarter. December soft red futures held steady, $5 and a quarter cent. December spring wheat off 1¾ at 541 and three quarters, Chip.
Yeah, a steady close doesn't sound very impressive until you realize that it's at $5.25. We've got two consecutive closes above $5.
Yep. Ethanol production in the weekend at October 4 averaged 963,000 barrels per day. Chip, that's up 5,000 from the previous week, but 77,000 barrels per day below the same week last year. Ethanol stocks in the week plunged 1.995 million barrels to just 21.224 million barrels. Chip, that is the lowest stocks level since late October 2017.
Yeah.
Positioning ahead of tomorrow's crop production and supply and demand reports from USDA and uncertainty in the market about how to prepare for the week-ending snowstorm left the corn market searching for direction. December corn futures were 1.5 cents lower at 394 and a quarter. March corn slipped a penny, 405 and a half. May corn, 410 and three quarters. That one's down a half cent today.
The slowdown in ethanol production contributed to that drop in ethanol stocks. But it looks to me like we're going to see some export numbers come in very soon, and we will see some ethanol exports in there.
All right. Weather uncertainty in the northern bean production areas helped to limit selling interest in the bean market. Bean prices actually softened a bit today after word hit the market that China has offered to boost annual purchases of soybeans to 30 million metric tons. That's well above current trade expectations and even above China's buys of U.S. beans in the year preceding the start of the trade war. But the market was once again, of course, unimpressed by a Chinese promise to buy more beans. Yeah. November bean futures were 3.25 cents higher at 9.23 3/4. Jan beans up 2 3/4, 9.38. March beans closed at 9.49 3/4, up 2 3/4, Chip.
Yeah, China's promises go from 20 million to 30 million, and the bean market backed off.
I mean,
that is, I think it's got something to do with spicy chili.
December live cattle futures opened higher, slipped to test support at this week's lows, then recovered to test resistance at the 112 level. That was on support from strength in the boxed beef market. Futures closed higher, but were well off session highs on the close. October cattle 30 cents higher, 108.47.5. Deese cattle futures up 32.5, 111.17.5. October feeders were $2.47.5 higher at 144.50. And on the snout side, selling pressure has been washed out of the hog market. December futures gapped sharply higher on the open, fell back into that gap area, and then found renewed buying interest into the close. Some traders contend price action the past two sessions suggest China is back and buying pork from the U.S. October hogs $1.10 higher, 62.80. Deese hogs jumped $2.07.5 today to close at 69.47.5. Chip!
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, how you doing today, bud?
I'm doing great. What's going on, man?
Well, I'm going to ask you that. What do you think is going on? Powell is shooting back.
Powell is full of crap. The whole Fed should be abolished to begin with. That's the first thing. Let's just end the Fed. But this is becoming ridiculous, and they had the Fed minutes today. There's a lot of dissension among the Fed, the governors in the Fed that want to not cut rates. And the fact is, I've always said all along, is the only legitimate reason to cut rates is to keep up with the rest of the world. But what we've shown, and Japan has proven, that for 35 years, cutting rates does not work. Okay. So at the end of the day, let the free market decide, and then we won't have to worry about all this manipulation crap that he puts on all the time. I mean, not just him, it's every Fed Reserve chairman in history since Greenspan has had to manipulate markets trying to figure out how to stop the recession. The recession is coming whether you stop it or not, okay? Mm-hmm. There's no way to stop those. They keep kicking the can down the road. So that just creates a bigger problem.
But the Fed is going to drop rates, aren't they?
They're going to drop them this month. Yeah, they listen, it's a shot. They could drop them 50 basis points.
Yeah.
So, you know, quarters priced in almost 100%. 50 is an outside shot, but again, they're trying to keep up with the rest of the world, which everybody else has proven it doesn't work. Nobody's economy is better because they're lowering rates. So
I get it. Okay, hey, you gotta like the blue side of this grain market.
You know me, baby. I love them, and I think I think the grains have been right on, and they've been on top of this China story from the beginning. They've never really budged. Today was the first day that they looked a little excited about China news, and then they showed at the end of the day, it's bull crap. It's no good, and I think hogs are going to end up showing the same thing. I think they got a little over-exuberant. First of all, I think they caught everybody short yesterday.
Yeah.
That's number one. And I think it's just a little over-exuberance. I think hogs probably got a little bit more room to go on the downside, but fats and feeders look like they're going higher and they're going to take out the recent highs.
That over-exuberant, is that a shout-out to Volcker?
another genius. We're recovering them up. You know, you go to the Fed, you go to the Ivory Tower, you become a moron right away. You jump in from being a smart guy on the street and understands that's common sense, and you go to that glass tower and you no longer know what common sense is anymore. You decide to become one of these guys trying to fiddle around with the economy. So you know,
you're the best, Bubba. We got to go, man. Thank you. We'll talk to him later. We got Jerry Goodell up next.
We're talking with Josh Kelly, seed care product lead for Syngenta. Josh, how does Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment differ from the competition?
Great you asked. So I think there's two main differences that we want to call out when you're thinking about Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals. One being the rooting power that you get from Vibrance and the Cruiser Vigor effect that you get from the insecticide component of the mixture. So I'll talk to the Vibrance rooting power. So more and more research is pointing out that how important root health is to the overall crop productivity. And really what we feel like Sodexane, the active ingredient in Vibrance, really brings to the table is healthier roots actually allow for better moisture uptake, better nutrient uptake. That actually we feel like obviously boost cereal plants' rooting power, which should lead to optimized crop performance and really allows the grower to maximize their yield potential on that acre. Additionally, with the Cruiser Vigor effect, you get the added benefit in this formulation of a fungicide and an insecticide, that insecticide component being Cruiser 5FS, which provides protection against key insects such as aphids, wireworms, even in certain geographies. And you get the Cruiser Vigor effect, which should lead to our data would show that you get increased germination along with the insect protection all in one easy-to-use premix formulation.
You know, the root health, that's what this Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals is all about, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, with the Sodexane component, along with the other fungicides that we have in the mixture, you're getting a halo of protection around that cereal seed. Vibrance, again, with the rooting power, you're getting protection against Rhizoctonia. With our other components being, you know, Maxim and Difenoconazole, you're getting added protection for Pythium, your butts and smuts, and really the total disease spectrum that one might find in their field, you're getting that protection with Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereals.
That's so cool. Thank you, Josh. That is Josh Kelly, Seed Care Product Lead for Syngenta.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
More choices, more money. That's the advantage of the new Bayer Plus Rewards. Choose from our broad portfolio of high-performance products. Earn more money on the eligible products that are right for your farm. And best of all, use our new portal to see your purchases, track your rewards, and decide how you want to use them. That's how we're putting more control in your hands. That's the plus. Sign in and earn big with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com to sign up today. See program terms and conditions for full details.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo EZ nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
You're listening to the new AgriTalk with Chip Flory and me, the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. AgriTalk. Let me just spoil this awesome Led Zeppelin tune with the AgriTalk Men of Song.
Right.
Why don't I do that?
Yes. Welcome back. Glad that you could join us today. I'm Chip, that's Davis, and Bubba put a summary on it that you just don't hear all the time.
No.
You know, Paul Volcker, another smart man that became a moron when he joined the Fed. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. All right. Not a lot of movement in the grain markets today. The big movement was in the livestock trade. Modest gains in live cattle, sharp gains in feeder cattle, and I'll call them sharp gains in most lean hog contracts today as well.
And you mentioned it during the news segment. I think the biggest move of the day was no move at all. D soft red futures steady, but above that $5 mark. So I mean, we'll take that 0.75% if that's what it is. We'll take it.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Yeah, no change is it. It can sometimes be a big deal, and I think it might be for DSRW right now. Yep. All right, let's bring Jerry Goodell in. Jerry is grain strategist with Price Futures Group. How you doing today, Jerry?
Very good, Chip. Always good to be with you.
Good, good, good. Hey, tell me, what do you have the same kind of feelings towards the Fed as what Bubba just had?
Not maybe in his style of terms, but right now the people trying to overly manipulate and keep the economy going sometimes causes you problems later. So sometimes everybody gets into hoping they can make major changes, and it always doesn't work the way they want it.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, I remember 25 years ago, I know I had this conversation with you about the lost decade in the Japanese economy. Now it's 35 years into it now, and they've done nothing to improve it.
No. Yeah, getting involved with that type of thing, and then I don't know. It's, as I said, even Europe's into that same situation. And
yep.
I don't know how you get right now, at least.
Get out of it.
We got to get out of it, and to some extent, we need to also kind of let the world kind of react to what's going on one way or the other and not try to make sure they don't. But now we got a snowstorm going in North Dakota.
Yes, we do.
What do you think of that thing?
Holy smokes, dude. I take a look at what this corn market is doing, and it's like showed no concern over a bit of snow. Beans maybe, but you could say that they're showing concern over the dry conditions down in Brazil. So I don't know. What should we expect from a market reaction to this snowstorm?
Well, I think it's an intensification of it yesterday came along with the fact that people wanted to even up the report. We got a lot of it in there yesterday. But I think the really interesting thing in this thing is there's not enough people paying attention to just the 45-mile-an-hour winds and things like that. I know snow is only going to be concentrated maybe in that 10 to 20-inch situation in half of North Dakota, but the rest of those north-south Dakota parts of Nebraska, actually, you've all heard about the fact we might have cold temperatures in Colorado all the way down to the northern part of Texas Panhandle. There's some interesting twists in this thing. It's very difficult to make judgments as to how many bushels that ultimately was going to have, but I'd have to say right now that the market has not really responded as well as you might think it is, considering the fact that of those states we kind of mentioned here and throwing in a little bit of western Kansas here, we've got about 25 to 28 million acres out there, and there's a whole bunch of unharvested acres out there. Only 1.5 million out of that 27 million or so. So there's a lot of open space out here that could have impact. But at this point, as we all know, it's a test weight thing on some of the impact of the black layer. It's not specifically about the number of years, except how many stays on the plant that doesn't get blown off from there. And the soybean situation is always even a little bit more tricky because the fact that I have a hard time figuring out when people say that the leaves are dropping and what stage of development that is, when I see that on the statistic, there's a whole difference between yellow leaves dropping off and no leaves being brown and ready to harvest. I'm not sure how I can figure that out.
Yeah, and this year's bean crop is weird. I mean, if it was some of the later beans and it was hit with some fungicide at some point, it seems to be holding on to leaves even though the pods are ripe and the beans are ready. And it's just it's a weird look out there to see combines rolling through some beans that still look way, way, way too green, but they are ready to go. So I don't know what all this is going to mean, but you said it when you started, Jerry. When it comes to an event like we're looking at the end of this week, don't react too sharply. Keep some in the tank is what I'm trying to say, and try to evaluate a couple 3 days later over just how much damage might have been done. Okay,
exactly.
Guys,
go ahead. One quickie here.
Yeah.
One thing we do know is going on, though. We have 1 million acres of spring/Durham wheat that has not been harvested by all the statistics, and this kind of weather is no good.
Bad.
So that's what that means for the November numbers here on those two scenarios. Keep that in the back of your mind. That's something we really going to have to check into. Now we can go on. I'm sorry. That was one thing I really thought was a hot item.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad that we got there, Jerry. We are going to be talking now about the supply and demand report, the crop production report, and primarily the supply and demand, because the crop production obviously bleeds right into the supply side of that balance sheet. If you've got any questions at all, if you just wonder about how something might be handled in the balance sheet, give us a call. It's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. When you do, hashtag AgriTalk in the message. All right, you want to start with corn or beans, Jer? What do you want to do?
Let's go with corn.
Okay, so we know what the 2018-19 carryover is, because that is the September 1 stocks number for corn, 2.114 billion bushels. But boy, that has a big impact and really changes the balance sheet from where we were just a couple, 3 weeks ago for the 2019-20 marketing year, because that's our beginning stocks.
Oh, it does it ever. You know, it's a scenario we were like basically a 2.2 billion carryover stock, and it depends on what number you use or something like that, but it's in the 1.7 to 1.8 carryover stock. You're talking 60-65% drop from where it was just a month ago, and that's it doesn't mean that the corn needs to be $5, but it does mean you pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the production side of things, what are you thinking? We've seen the downtrend from the, well, I shouldn't say the downtrend, because we went from the world boards 166 up to 169.5 down to 168.2. Where do we land here in for the October crop production report, do you think, on yield?
Well, I think the trade average guess from the people expecting what the USDA is going to say, and I think that still continues to be my perspective and what I think people should look at versus where we might be at the next month or in January.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so there is the difference. Give a second here. There's two different numbers out there that we're always looking at. That is the analyst estimates of what they believe USDA is going to come with in the next report. And then there is the final estimate that is out there as well. But it's most important, you think, to look at what is expected of USDA.
Exactly. From the standpoint of having a number that comes off modestly this particular month makes so much more sense. With 15% of the U.S. corn harvest earlier this week, and that we have no additional information to make major changes in either the farmer survey or even the enumerators giving us an impact from what they got from their various test plots. And that, so then reality of it is, does that mean I think the corn market production crop size is going to stay at this level? No. But do I think that that's a place to begin and get to move that way? Makes a lot of sense. Now, somehow or other, if we can end up being something like 166 versus the 167 kind of numbers that are out here, that's going the right direction. But as to where we're going to be in November, and God knows what we'll be in January, you know, those are going to be the interesting ones that ultimately there. It's like, you know, we've talked about this in the past, 1993, some of these self-realizing years in here, and I think we're definitely in one of those.
Yeah, so what you're saying is it's still a trend report. It's not something that we're going to hang our hat on as the final number. It's still pointing the trend in what I think I hear you saying, and I know what I think. It's pointing us down.
Yes.
Yep.
West side of south end. I'm in the 165 zone. We'll see if we get there.
Very good. Very good. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about the demand side of the market. And, you know, we need to look at the old crop. How are they going to wrangle us around a 2.114 billion bushels? We'll get Jerry's idea on that next.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught is with us now. Dan, are you there? I didn't know if he was going to be with us or not. I'm going to take a quick look at the December lean hog contract today. Like we talked about at the start of the show, we gapped from under $68 to over $70 on the open this morning, pushed just a bit higher through early session, and then set back and almost filled that upside price gap in today's trade. The gap is still open, but the mid-range close suggests that this D's contract might be willing to hang out in the $68 to $70 range for a little while. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates, of which there were some today, at profarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm Chip Flory. We are talking with Jerry Goodell from Price Futures Group, getting you ready for tomorrow's supply and demand report from USDA. Before we do that, Let's get this market recap from Davis Michelson.
You bet. Well, December hard red futures were 3 cents higher at 413 and a quarter. December soft red futures steady $5.25. December corn futures were 1.5 cents lower at 394 and a quarter. March corn slipped a penny to 405 and a half. November bean futures were 3.25 cents higher at 923 and three quarters. January beans firmed 2.75 cents to 938 even. October cattle 30 cents higher, 108.47 and a half. October feeders $2.47.5 higher at 144.50. And December hogs jumped $2.07.5 to 69.47 and a half. Now this.
Hey Grandma! Can I have some nonsense?
Not until you finish your agri-talk.
Agri-talk!
There's your quick market recap. Now back to you, Chip.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's have some nonsense. Thank you so much, Davis. Give us a call, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, hashtag AgriTalk in the message. We're talking with Jerry Goodell, Green Strategist, Price Futures Group today. Jerry, let's talk a little bit more about that 2.114 billion bushel corn carryover estimate that we've got for the 2018-19 marketing year. They're not going to change the supply side rolling into in the supply and demand report. Our total supply is going to be at 16.585 billion bushels, which means that they're going to have to make some drastic changes on the demand side of that corn balance sheet on the old crop, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. In the classic sense of it, we always talk about feed and demand, but it also is feed slash residual. And guess where that adjusted disappearing corn is going to go? It really, in reality, is somewhere between a 3 bushel, maybe a little bit higher than that, smaller crop on a yield basis. But that probably won't show up until we get to the 2000, I think it's 22 next
year.
Census Bureau, their ag census situation, that will get adjusted out and we'll get a realistic number, because in reality that means we went from a 5.25 number up to a 5.6 on feed.
Yeah.
Not to say that I think that we could have had higher feed usage, but I don't think it's that high either along the way. But interesting is this particular year going along, there's been some very erratic stocks reports, from the good number that made sense in the fall to a very low number in the wintertime, when I think people were sitting on their hands and didn't want to buy anything in the feeder world, to a very good number again in June, and then all of a sudden realizing that the bottom of the bend didn't have as many bushels in it.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got that 2.114 billion bushels for the beginning stocks for the 2019-20. We've talked about what to expect on the crop. I think they're going to peel a little bit off of the harvested acreage number. I don't know how far they're going to take that down, mm-hmm. Jerry. I mean, some people think that they could really strip that harvested acreage estimate from the 82.02 that we had from USDA in September, but I don't think they're not going to take a million acres off of it.
No, I totally agree. I think, unfortunately, people look at the holes that happen in fields and they realize that first they were there in the spring, then they disappeared in the summertime. Now they're coming back again as we get into harvest. What happens is since it's not a high enough percentage of the field, you can't take that as prevent planting. So it has to be, in essence, it makes your yields go lower. In
right.
essence, the number of acres are still there, and it turns out to be a modest decline in your harvested, or excuse me, in your yield situation along the way,
right.
From that standpoint. And also the likelihood that after this big jump in the feed demand side, on the demand here, we're likely going to have to see maybe a modest increase in the feed number for the coming year. Maybe to placate their 5.6, they need to have a little something bigger than 5.175 for the coming year. The
right.
big number is, what is exports going to do?
Yeah.
Well, that's the big controversy. You know, and I know in this business, are they going down 100? Are they going down 200? It's terrible. This is the worst year ever for corn exports. I think once the Brazilians get their kind of shipments out of the way, people will turn back to us, and there'll still be some corn exports along the way. And let's hope the heck that the Brazil finally starts raining down there and we can actually get a second crop corn going before the next season falls apart. We've had that whole issue. Now, it's not right on the burner, but it's out
right.
there.
Exactly. I like the way that you talked about that export number on corn. Is it going to be down 100? Is it going to be down 200? You didn't even give it a chance at being steady because the export number for 2019-20 is going down, isn't it?
Oh, for 1920, yeah, because of the fact that we're off to such a very slow start. And Brazil has been, when we had our high prices jump up here, they were substantially lower. They sold the world their corn while we were kind of faltering and not selling ours because of the price and also the advantage in currency.
Okay, so here you are. You're at about 1.7 billion bushels for the 2019-20 carryover number then.
That's where I'm starting at to begin with for this one. It's a, is that a number that is wildly bullish? No, but is it something that could be adjusted downward, depending on what our yields turn out to be? I don't know. There's going to be a lot of adjustments in the feed and ethanol and exports over the next few months. I think those will be numbers that will kind of settle in for a while, and we'll have to figure out what our supply side is from there. But in general, I think that they're respectable numbers, and usually the USDA doesn't make a lot of changes until they get after the Christmas period.
Right. Okay. So that's getting that stocks-to-use ratio down into a level that should at least, I don't want to call it bullish, but it's certainly not bearish.
No, I think it does suggest that our downside risk at this point if we get a little disappointment on this report or the weather, whatever, we might have a downside pullback into the 80s, maybe even 280 itself. But at the topside situation remains still, I think, $4 is our magic number, and it might be higher.
Yeah. USDA's got the national average on-farm cash price for the 19-20 marketing year at 360. You going to argue with that too much right now?
No.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's go on to soybeans. I also had a stock surprise for soybeans. It's just that, I mean, if corn would have come in right where it was expected, beans, they would have jumped all over it and said, oh, my gosh, can you believe that they missed it by that much, Jerry?
True. Yeah. We had a little, for practical purposes, a whole bushel difference in yield. And then they had some minor adjustments in the harvested area along the way, from that standpoint, but the interesting thing is we're starting at a billion bushels. Okay. 913. That's the down, but it goes right into the same category as we did in the corn. We started out with 755 in August, 650 in September. Now we're 500 or less. I'm 465.
Right. Right. Yeah, you're at 465 for the end of the 2019-20 marketing year. Let's talk about the production side. USDA last month, gosh, where were they? 47.9. You've got it down at 46.8. What are you thinking? More of a trend type number?
Yes, yes. Okay. I guess the one thing, and I'm guaranteed my number's a little on the positive side of the averages for this report right now, because I really have, I'm still staring at the weather that was south of Indianapolis and St. Louis all the way to the Gulf Coast and that kind of stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, the crop is going down out of sight, but you talk about August, well, for definitely half of August and most of September, not good weather there. And at this point, I'm not convinced that when you have 780 average seeds out there, we can find enough weight on them to get a great crop. But that's a little further down the line.
Right. Yeah, it is. And as we found out earlier in the September quarterly grain stocks report, we might have to wait for a year before we get the final number on the 2019 bean crop. It's become commonplace, though, to wait for it, Jerry. It has been,
and it gets frustrating because of the issue. If you think about that, instead of a 176 crop yesterday, we had really a 173 crop. Now on this whatever 51 number, we really had a 50 and a half number. Now we're thinking we have to say 47, maybe we had a 45. We don't know.
Right. 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 And we don't worry too much about squaring it all up until we get the September quarterly grain stocks report, the September 1 stocks number. 465, that's a heck of a lot better than the 548 that USDA gave us in September, but it's still a stocks-to-use ratio that isn't anything all that price positive, isn't it?
No, my 11.6% number isn't. It's similar to corn. Maybe it's a little more volatility because we have so much of the world demand and production in South America, and it's going to weigh back and forth on how that rain activity improves or not improves in Mato Grosso over the next month.
Right. Okay. So what do you think as far as prices go? When we take a look at, I should have been down there already. I'm not. 850 is where USDA is for national average on farm cash price. You going to argue with them much at this point?
I kind of anticipate maybe 10 to 15 cents more as the world goes on here, because I do think that there's issues in South America that's going to help us a little bit. But on the other side of the coin, unless we can really make a major change in going on in U.S. export capabilities to China, we're not going to get a $10.50 or $11 price anytime soon.
That's right. That's exactly right. Jerry, thank you so much, buddy. Really appreciate it. We will talk with you again in front of another supply and demand report in the future. Okay, bud?
You bet. Always enjoy.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Jerry. That is Jerry Goodell, grain strategist at the Price Futures Group. It's me and Davis when we come back with more AgriTalk.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three. Two. One. Oh, no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. unbiased, and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. Just wrapped up a conversation. Jared Goodell from Price Futures Group. Looking forward to the crop production and supply and demand report.
Could be a big one. Tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. It is. Jerry, I don't think there's any question that Jerry believes. Well, he said it. This is another trend report. Don't expect to get a final corn yield estimate or something that we could consider a final corn yield estimate. Same story for soybeans. And just thinking of the process, and the reason that he said that is because of the information that will be available to NAS, the National Ag Statistics Service, in making those estimates.
Okay.
They just won't have enough evidence yet to go any further than, you know, the average trade guess on corn yield is 167.5. This according to Reuters. I believe it is Reuters that we are looking at here.
Reuters.
Yes. So he just doesn't see enough evidence, or doesn't think that NAS will have enough evidence to give us a, hey, this is what we really think is going to be the final number. As I understand it, every number that you get from NAS is the number that they believe we will have at the end of the year. They want to be as close to the January annual production summary as they possibly can be as soon as they can in the year, as soon as possible in the year.
Now, one thing that Jerry and you talked about was how the big question is going to be exports.
Yeah.
Is it
on the demand
side?
On
the demand side, is it possible that there'll be more focus, more potential for that to be a market mover, more focus on the export numbers than on yield numbers, crop size, this sort of thing? Are we there?
The only way that would happen is if you get a big shocking number. And I think if they would take that corn number down to 1.85, and because it's at 2.05, if they would take 200 million off the corn export estimate, then I think that might dominate the trade reaction. But as things stand right now, the supply side's going to be the market mover tomorrow at 11 o'clock Central.
Yeah. What if? Let's play what if.
Okay.
Amid so much uncertainty, they decide, you know what? We're not even going to touch these export numbers. We're just going to leave them where they are.
Okay.
Kick it down the road. We'll see you again in a couple of months.
That's exactly what the trade attitude would be, that they punted on the export numbers the change is coming, but it's coming at a later date.
So you know, no impact from that sort of scenario.
Yeah, I don't think it would have much effect.
Fair enough.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if you want to go ahead and knock 200 million bushel off the corn export number right now, go ahead and do it because the corn exports in the second half of the year are going to be a lot better than what they are in the first half.
Whoa.
So then all of a sudden you're adding 50, you're adding 25, you're adding 50 and getting back up to that 2.05. So that's a whole lot more positive down the line than here we are at 2.05 and they were right all along.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Okay. I like that.
Okay. All right. Average trade guess on yield going into the reports tomorrow. Again, 11 o'clock Central Time, 167.5 for a corn yield, production 13.684 billion bushels. And here's an area of interest. 81.649 million harvested acres. 81.649, just call it 6.5. 81.65 million harvested acres compared to USDA's September estimate on harvested acres of 82.02.
Okay.
Okay, so there can be a lot of bushels lost if we would get all the way down to 81.65 million on harvested acres. The low end of the range is 80.8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do something.
Take 1.2 million off the harvested acreage estimate from where we were in September and see what it does to your total production numbers. What else here? Don't forget, we were at 168.2 on the corn harvested or the corn yield. USDA is expected to come in at 167.5. That's the average trade guess there.
Okay.
On soybeans.
Soybeans, yep.
USDA in September came in at 47.9. On the bean yield, the average trade guess, 47.3, down 0.6 of a bushel. There is some uncertainty over harvested acres here as well. The average trade guess on bean harvested acres, just call it 75.7, which would be down from 75.86, 75.9, down a couple hundred thousand from where we were in September is the average trade guess. USDA in September put the bean crop at 3.633 billion bushels. The average trade guess is 3.583. So take about 50 million bushels off the bean crop is the trade guess.
Okay.
Cotton, not a whole lot of movement expected there. When we get to the carryover numbers, Goodell was just talking about his number. His exact number is 1.69. I rounded to 1.7. The average trade guess on 2019-20 corn carryover is 1.784. 1.784 billion bushels. And doggone it, where did it go? There it is. On soybeans, the average trade guess is 521 million bushels. On wheat, not a lot of change expected there, 1.015 billion bushels.
All right.
So tomorrow afternoon, you and I are going to have all the details of that for everybody out there. Ready? Here we go. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Beating the Weather. Okay, so we get that we can't change the weather. That leaves us with outrunning it when we can. Now today's tweets. At Chris Clayton, sugar beet harvest in Colorado trying to get ahead of expected snow.
Yeah.
Let's see. At Silage Chopper, just to confirm, 2019 is a complete wreck. I just jumped back in the chopper and smashed my bag of Doritos. And finally, at Simply Gary, judging by the forecast, it sounds like it's time to abandon ship. It was a heck of a good month for work that took all summer to complete. Hashtag it, HeyCamp19. Back to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you for listening today. Thanks to Bubba Horowitz and to Jerry Goodell for joining us. Tomorrow morning, Roger Johnson, president of the Nationals Farmer Union, is back. I said it. I wanted to have him back, talk about his new ideas for a safety net in agriculture, and we're going to do just that tomorrow on AgriTalk.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.